Okay, so we were in the middle of Membez, right? We talked about making a shahakol. So let's start. So we'll do Membez again. Yeshem levarachlem shahakol. So this is on that jelly, right? The lekvar, the latvar, and the pavidla. Oh, by the way, so we did notice yesterday, right? We talked about 2 days ago in that beralacha about what do you do if you have a seed inside of a fruit, right? Where you have the fruit, and then you have the pit, and inside the pit there's another little fruit, right? And is that considered just like a seed, right? Or you make it, right? Or do you make a bar priya dhamma? Because it's like a fruit within a fruit. So Mishnah Berurah had mentioned over there this thing called the Suftalin, and so we looked up what the Suftalin is, and it's like it's an apricot, right? Now, I don't know if all apricots like this, but there's a thing called, right, an apricot, right, the apricot pit, which, here we go, right, apricot kernels, and if you open up the pit of an apricot, all right, there's something that looks like a pit, and inside that is an edible kernel. You eat those?
I figured like almost common.
Right, so what's funny is... Yeah, so, again, I don't know if it's only certain flavors. This is important for this year.
Yeah. It's still going, I hope.
Okay.
I think so.
Right, so what's interesting is that, you know, some of them say it's apricot kernels that, like, you know, taste like almonds or whatever, right? But then you have some websites that say that it's got cyanide in it.
Oh, apricot kernels.
And you should limit how much of that stuff you eat.
Well, like apple seeds have cyanide in it.
Yeah.
They do.
It's a poisonous compound. Yeah.
It's funny because I had a coworker who used to eat an apple, everything.
Right.
Until his father and doctor said, I think your stomach is messed up. You have to stop eating the core.
It's a minute.
Why did he eat the stick?
Right. So in one case it says you gotta be very careful not to ingest too much cyanide. The other one said like don't eat any of it. Right. So okay. That being said, so there is such a thing, it's probably the apricot, right?
Don't you remember like in our day that there was something that was called laetrile, remember that? That was like from the inside of some type of
not in my day.
Yes.
But this doesn't sound good at all.
Well, you remember, you're that old.
What?
Do you remember that laetrile?
He grew up in Iowa. Iowa don't have
you don't remember?
It says apricot kernels can cause potentially fatal cyanide poisoning when consumed. Symptoms include nausea, fever, headaches, insomnia, et cetera, et cetera.
Not automatic death like most cyanide pills do?
Well, various aches and pains in joints and muscles and a drop in blood pressure. It sounds pretty bad.
But it's natural.
Okay.
Well, that's why Hashem made it so hard. It's like you can't, like, access it easily.
We gotta work to get that apricot kernel.
Wait, so what was the point of bringing this up?
So if you're eating an apricot kernel, is it what?
Do you remember
did you make a bracha up because
I don't know,
a poisonous thing?
You don't remember that? It was like a cure for cancer.
They do claim this is a cure for cancer.
Right,
they said that also that it,
laetrile's another
but
name
they
for
say
Hamagel.
It's
okay, so in any case, so to the extent there is such a thing that exists, and David, you had it in America?
And it's still alive.
Right? So, and how do you even know about it?
Crack it open.
You crack open every pit?
I mean, you probably were open a little bit, you just keep opening it up and you see enough to eat it.
Okay.
What says here?
Oh, they do have an almond tofu, sweet apricot kernel milk, or powdered sweet apricot kernels.
It says here, how many apricot kernels per day is safe? It says this device applies raw, unprocessed apricot kernels in powdered forms. And if you decide to eat them, you should not eat more than 0.37 grams per adult per day, which is equivalent to 1 to 2 small kernels.
I'm guessing he ate as many apricots that he ate, so I'm guessing he needed more than 2 apricots at a sitting. Okay, anyway, so that's what that is, and that's... okay, so let's go back to Membez on page 2, 13. The Levarchim Shakel, so some say to make on this jelly, make a shakel. So he says, Bezen Nechleku Achronim, there are those who argue on this. And he says, Yesh mem shesovrim da yeshom do polakim pavidla. That they're only arguing on that particular type of pavidla, right? Mishum sheni mucho legamre, it's totally dissolved. Lo nikotros and klal, you can't even notice it, you recognize it at all. Avo pedina machar, but tomorrow shesvasku, but if you take dates and you crush them, that they're noticeable, even if you're totally crushed, you can still tell that it's a date. So modin b'varach b'afreid. So then they would agree. So it's only a very limited case when the food gets totally, you know, unrecognizable. Okay, that's one set of achronim who argue. V'yeshvim shesom da yeshom palugam. They argue on the whole thing. It's really to keep it in this rascal again. Once you get it down to a pulverized state, you make a shahakol. And he says, "Well, dina nafkamina bazeh the afim name of the yeshom polygam atzmar mishnas rascal." That even if the second opinion, this yeshom is arguing on the tamarim as well, right? That if you crush them, it's going to go down to being a shahakol. You makom makom lahalacha kaim on kedasa mechaber. So if there we pass like the shofar, that if you still can see the mamashas, the bracha doesn't change. Pavidla, it's totally unrecognizable. The bracha yotzei al kol b'dievet, it works b'dievet. So now, first of all, is it, you know, we constantly like to point this stuff out, right? In Psak and Mishnah Berurah and, you know, so you have an idea here that, and we've said this many times, that for brachos, if you want to be a chassid for brachos, you try to get the perfect coverage, not just a bracha coverage, but the perfect coverage. So you have to know when you're considered a chassid to do that, and when there's no basis to do that. So at this point, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you want to be a chassid and follow the second Yesh Omrim, right, and you want to make sure that you get the shahakal coverage on crushed dates, right? He says we don't pass in that way. So there's no inyan to be machmir, we don't pass in like. Right? It's got to be something that is a real machlokas, and we don't know, so we go this way, we go that way. But something that we pass in and say that crushed dates, according to, you know, the halacha, is not a problem to make a bar parades on. So therefore, it does not seem that it's a mila to go running around and making sure you get both eights and shahakal coverage, right? Because that means you got to go find a separate fruit and a separate shahakal. Now, when he goes on, he says, "Ochein le'inyan bracha achrona, ein eight to Yisrael le'inyan dvarim shemishiv aminah." So then you're sort of stuck, right? Because if you're talking about a crushed shivas aminim, k'dis p'sin reish chesif yigimel, the berachas bari nefashas rabos eino. Right, neither one patters the other one, and therefore, you know, if this thing is so pulverized, the bracha would be a ring of barin fashos. If it's a crushed fruit, right, and it's one of the shivas aminim, it's going to be al haperos, and you need to get coverage. So imlo shiocha gam pri meshivas aminim gam davar shibrachaso. But in Foshas Rabbos, Lifter Gam Ezem Imanoshach, right? You have to eat a Shivas Aminim, and also eat something that's a Bari Nefashos, right? That's what Dovi was pointing out yesterday, so at the same price, you could go ahead and get bracha coverage up front also. You're already going to have some grapes with you, and you're already going to have some, you know, some other shahakal, right? So why don't you do that up front? So maybe the answer to the question is that Mikra Din, we don't worry about. We paskin that it is a Bari Pri, a Bari Pri Ha'etz, and even if we're wrong, it will work, certainly B'di'evit. Now he says, V'imein lo, let's say you don't have any things available. Nearly Shiuchal Varach Me'in Shalosh, right? Since Mikra Din, we do paskin that, like, that really is a fruit still. And therefore, Kikei Mash Melosh Ramah, the Tovus Likra Din Shibrachaso Pri Ha'etz, because that's how the, right, the Ramah concludes that it's a bari priyaitz. Okay, let's go to Mem Gimel Levarach Shehakol. Right, so there is a machlokas here, and again, it just the question was whether it's dafka on the pavidla or is it on all crushed foods. So he says to make a shehakol. V'al kol mine agris v'yagidas, right, u melanas chiyotzi bozeh, Right? So I'm assuming, I don't know what agaras are, but yagadas are cherries or berries or umelanas, right? Which is, that's interesting. He says, right, those are some fruits. Mine, these are all small types of fruits, berries or whatever. Chiyotzi bazesh is sochten oson umarakachin, right? You squeeze out the juice and then you mix it with dvash, with sugar, with sugar and honey. Varchalin shahakok even shem rusakim and imuchin the gamre, be avad bahem tsurasin. So you have squeezed out all their juices. You've now, you somehow made it into a paste. You mix it with honey and sugar. So those become a shahakol, right? They've lost their zur b'di'evet. Im berachin berachos haroi yotze b'di'evet. If you made the proper bracha, you would still be yotze. And then he says in mem dalad.
That means if you said adama or eights, whatever they are?
Well, they're berries. Some of them are berries. So that would be a bar priya eights, depending on which berry. But
a ru'uya. I mean, I thought we're saying that what's roy is to say shakal.
No, no. Well,
you mean that it's
I assume it means what would be the bracha before you crushed them or before you squeezed them out. And then he says mem dalad yatza. But if you made a bar priya or yatza, beim rov derech achilos on parent who al yidei risuk. Right, so kirbies are gourds or right things that are cooked. Right, squash is usually cooked. Ingbar, which is ginger, right, which I guess is usually cooked. Shari b'som shechukim she'olchem sukkar. Right, any other thing that they crush and mix with sugar. Right, we'll see more about this later, but it does create all sorts of when you have these combinations. So there's always so much you have to know about the process. Were they made for this purpose, right? Because that's one of the things he says over here, right? Right, that the bradavki eaten this way. Right, derech achilas osim perus. So they risuk if you normally eat them by crushing them, right? So that does always create, what exactly is covered by that, right? We, more often than not, you have a regular fruit, and you have it. Sometimes it's processed as well. Now, what would be the brach on the processing? So, again, it would always be helpful because sometimes we don't know what the processing is. We don't know what, what is the norm, what is typical. It would be helpful if the hashgacha organizations put a bracha on there, right? They typically can't. Some hashgachas do, right? It's usually for Hamish products, so, it's okay. But I don't know that, that Hershey wants to have, it's enough that they have the OU, that they want to have, bircha shahakal, right? They don't know that, even though on the Pringles, right, it has all that stuff on it.
It does?
Not the ones that are made here.
It's got the Hebrew on it. He wants to make here.
Yeah, it says Cholostam on it.
The ones that are made here?
Yeah.
It says Cholostam on it. Something like that, along those lines.
Cholostam?
Yeah.
Cleared ones, yeah. It has a whole Hebrew
like that. Oh, if it's like cream cheese.
The side, the bottom.
Well, they got the cream and herbs or whatever. But if you look at...
also says shakal?
Well, the barbecue one also. Right, some maybe milchik. The regular ones are not. Right, but they all have Hebrew. And whatever, even if they're made here. So, right, but. Right, so Ben and Jerry's not gonna eat Pringles anymore. Okay. It's kind of funny. Those guys who are sort of, memorializing, Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead, but they hate Israel. Gotta sort of figure out where they're. Okay, Tess. Ches. Okay, Ches. The Vash Azov Me'at Tamar Mevarach Lem Shehakol. Now, this is also very interesting. We don't have this today. And, Eretz Zov Az Cholov with Vash, right? He's not talking about bee honey. He's talking about date honey, right? I don't know how much date honey, you're going to have in your house. First of all, we don't have a lot of fresh dates. Most people who. Are going to have dried dates, right? So to have fresh ones, right? You usually only see them Rosh Hashanah time, right? Maybe Tu B'Shvat time, right? But we certainly don't see, even if you let them sit around, you don't see honey oozing from them. But that was, once upon a time, that was popular.
Do they just get older or something? And they start to, they get older?
I don't know how it works. So he says, the honey that comes out of it is shehakol. Any juice that comes out of a fruit is a shehakol. Right? We're going to see there's going to be a big distinction between if you cook the vegetable and it causes juices to come out, that's one thing, as opposed to squeezing them. Right? We generally say that the juice that comes out of an apple, let's say out of an orange, is considered zeya ba'alma. It's considered the sweat of the fruit. And therefore, it does not take on a bracha on fruit. It takes on a shehakol, and the same with the honey that flows from it, from the tamar, right? That's just considered, a byproduct of it. It's not considered the ikar fruit. The only time it's the insides that get squeezed out are ikar is by grapes and by olives, right? The ikar is olive oil, and the ikar is grape wine.
If you have pulp in your orange juice, does that make a difference?
No. Okay, but we'll see. We'll get there. Okay, mem, hey, dvash hazav. Who then hayotze aydei ksisha schita? Anything that comes out from crushing it, right? Again, it doesn't make a difference how the liquid is extracted. It's a shehakol. I love shehakol. Dema dechsi b'tora zeis shemen udvash. Haynu tamar hayotze mehen dvash. Right. The eretz zeis shemen udvash, which is the shivas haminim. Right, Dvash here refers to the tamarim, which produces Dvash, which has Dvash flowing from them. Dvash gufa zeya ba'amahu bein b'chalal pri. We're going to see that lashon over and over again, that it's just zeya, just considered the sweat of the fruit. It's not the ikar fruit, it's a byproduct, and that's even, the honey that may flow from a date. And then he says, al-mashkin hayotzin, kegon yayin tapuch m'chai gavna. Yeah, it's funny. Didn't even consider such a thing called apple juice, right? They had apple wine, apple cider, whatever. Bein yisrami shotzmelin, whether the juices flowed out by themselves. Bein shotzmelin shotzmelin, whether you squeeze them out, right? The juice from an apple, the juice from an orange or whatever. Berchos and shahakol. Zeyab almahut ein nikra mashke el hayotzmi azei svendam bavad, right? The only thing that's considered a liquid halachically is olives and grapes, and it has a lot of nafkaminas, right? Obviously, the brachas are going to be, right? We talked about what's the ikar bracha on olive oil, right? It would be, right, bari pri ha'etz, and it would be an al haperos on the olive oil, right? We said you can't eat plain olive oil, so if it's in a mixture, whatever. And grapes have their own, you get the juice from there, but everything else does not. And that's why when it comes to schita on Shabbos, right, squeezing out fruits, the real isser is squeezing out, right, grapes and olives, right? And then you have all sorts of halachas of things that, flow by themselves on Shabbos. What are we makan on? So we're more makan on grapes and olives because that's a real isser, schita d'oraisa, because the ikar is for the fruit and the ikar is for the juice. Okay. Test. So fan of Seamus Bashan Leolam. The Chenel Hanovlos, right? So again, those are stuff that sits on the vine a long time. They never get fully ripened. Same Novlos are also, we'll see what those are. Those are, I think the grapes that fall off. Early Shame Tamarim. Okay, so he says those are Tamarim Shabishl Misraf Machom Vyovshu. Right, they were ripened and burnt by the heat, and they dried up. Bevar shehakol. So those also get to be a shehakol. Okay, let's go to Memches. Sofei anav, ma'inu anav, ha'nimtzayim b'gafon b'mos acharav. Right, grapes are still on the vine in the winter. Sheim is bashlin li'olam ve'osim mehem chometz. They don't ever get ripened, really. And you make chometz, right? They do have what is called the late harvest. The late harvest is probably not the winter yet, where all those wines of late harvest, all the kedem, late harvest stuff is just sweeter. It's not vinegary, which means it's, just sits on the vine a little bit longer, but not, overstays its welcome. And then you have Novlos Shabishlam Isar from Hainoshai Day Strafus Chom Nisbashlu. So because it's so hot, you know, hitting on these dates, they become ripe and they start drying out. Mishtan al Kahul, they just become a bad product. And Ushar Mefarsh and Perish Novlos Hainim Tamarim Shemis Bashan al Elon. Being the Sharon Le'achila, right? They learn it the other way, that they never become ripened, and they never become edible. Al Tosha Son Bechamin Oson Be'ofar Mizbashlan. They have to pull them off the tree and then put them in something warm to get them to ripen. Al Noson Son Machzolos Obetem Lizchamach Yizbashlan, right? They have to be artificially warmed up. Similar to like an incubator, right? So this is what they would do with these Novlos. So the bracha is a shahak of acharim bar nefashas rabos, even though they're tamarim, they're dates or they're grapes, right? Below dami sif beis gabi boast if you like gilik pol love the varchlam very pri adama, right? Ma'ishna sofe enom the varchlam shakol. So again, that, we have a lot of these questions. Why is this treated that way? The boser is an adama, but the boser, as we said, is going to eventually be a grape. It's going to eventually be an edible fruit. These things, right, will never be edible. So he says, Yeshom the shiny husband, I love him, Ma'al Yanin, they're regular grapes. They didn't reach the finish line yet, but they'll get there. Ma'ashen Kane Hachadimakul Kolamheim, they ain't on the chomets, right? These are already bad to begin with. At best, they're only going to be used for vinegar. Lo Adifim Mashkin Yotzimahin, right? They're no different than the liquids that come from them, Brechason Shahakal, right? Because they're not the ikar fruit, and they never will be an ikar fruit. Right, and that's the reason also for the novelos to make a shakel, the Gria Mishar Tamarim, they are different. Shemus Bashan Al Elon Leolam. So that's sort of an interesting thing, right? Because that you can definitely see some arguments according to the second. But the first parish, they're just bad Tamarim. The second parish is that they don't ripen on the tree. You have to take them off and put them in some warm place, and they'll ripen there. So you could argue and say, well, that's the natural way that this thing becomes a fruit. So maybe once you ripen it there, it becomes a regular bar priates, right? But we don't say that. Like I said, it could lead to some discussion why that's the case. Okay, let's see this berelacha here. Shit, back on 2:13. Shibishlam, usrafam, ayim ishibur, mashkasav, shem yesh mefarshim, shiperishu duhumin tamarim, She'ein misbashan ahal ilan, right? So we said the second answer is that they're tamarim that ultimately just don't ripen on the tree, but nos to nosam ba'afra b'tevel nishan. But they will eventually ripen through, you know, artificial means. V'dat imidivri lech hamuras al mishnai shemu b'eli rab, mavur demari b'zer shalei tamar ba'afar. Right? He says, no, these are things that they don't ripen, but not that you put them in the incubator either. Dim tamar ba'afra nisbashan ahal ilan, shar peris ilan. Right, so I was saying before, you could definitely hear that if their way of ripening is through putting them in warm sand, so that they will ripen that way. So then, once they do that, so it should be a regular fruit. So therefore, he says, Lechumus says that they're not ripened. You choose not to ripen them, and that's the shahakal case. But if you do ripen them, even though it's off the tree, it becomes an eitz. Achain, he says, lefize. Amai kar le b'shas bushle kamara. I look the bushle kamara mevarach bar priates. Right, he says, why do we call this a bushle kamara? Right, when we make a bar priates, dachal mishakamas hashashu omer the bushle kamara. Okay, ve'od yeshlav yirayim perish ben chanashu betos ben yehuda boraz rosh katzru peris she'ein asher la'achil klal, like the first opinion. Mekomers of barvel is bashal. Right, and then you put them in there to ripen. Beginning when they first come off the tree, they're not edible. You warm them, you put them in an incubator. Right, and they become a shachal because they probably still don't become the regular fruit. Right, you still only make a shahakal, right? So on the machzor, each of you say, "Mugging, barm, shave, shame, chew, spun, miras, chel, gavs, mitzamachay, become a side of cane, the bishel, I did have kimur, but offer, but tevin, chadomim, and the bar priates." Right, so it's not just the lechem chamudos, but now the punimiras also says, if they do ripen, become a regular fruit, right? Why would you not make a butter for AIDS? He says, Achla hibi razi doesn't mean actual raya, but he says that's the case, ayin shom. So it does become a question. If you do actually ripen them and they look no different than any other date, why would you not make a butter for AIDS? V'da'ot that ram v'perish and mish v'perish al novus v'perish enough mina ilan pagim kodim shizbash, so they fall off the tree early. V'chein kostam yirin yonim zel shen v'perish enough v'kodim yishulun, right? They happen to fall off the tree before they ripen. V'esh kodim gam kengen zel shen v'shirin enough v'kodim shibashlu v'atorvus and reshad kodim al novus min tamarim she'em v'shibashlin, they don't ripen on the tree. V'ashad daf min tamarim rahim she'en yichom v'shibashlin, right? Sounds like things that never will get ripened. But if it falls off before it's time, doesn't mean the bracha changes, right? Because it's a regular, normal tamar. Right? That you don't need to have a fully ripened fruit to make a bar. That's why he doesn't mention this thing, that they fall off before their time. As soon as the fruit comes out, it's a fruit. So right? Right? So it doesn't make a difference, right? If you took them off or they fell off. Right, it would sound like if it falls off early, you make a shahakol. Right, in any case, it is not so pashit if you have these sort of fruits that are before their time. And, you know, even if they don't get fully ripened, but maybe that's fine. Let's see one more bear lachim of our shahakol. Right, tomorrow that fall off the tree because of the wind. Regular fruit. They fall before they became ripened. So that's what the previous bear lacha was, that if it fell off before it was ripened, that's a problem. Okay, so 6 o'clock tomorrow.